This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. The data gurus at the Parkland Center for Clinical Innovation in Dallas have developed something they call the Vulnerability Index. It's a new way to spotlight what zip codes in North Texas are most at risk for COVID-19 infections. One major finding so far, the pandemic is having the harshest impact on communities of color. Steve Myth is the president and CEO for the center. Thanks for joining me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
First off, what is the Vulnerability Index? What goes into calculating it?
One of the things that we wanted to do is better understand not only COVID-19 and the pandemic, but who is more at risk to not only contacting the disease, but also having more severe symptoms. So we've taken the literature that's been done and certainly identify four key factors that are significantly contributing to this. One, obviously, being age, comorbidities that are associated with COVID-19, social determinants of health and the impact of social deprivation, and number four, mobility.
And I've looked at the maps your team is producing, and they match up with others measuring disparity in Dallas, with concerns to the housing, education, food deserts, those sorts of things. Why is that?
So one of the things that we've seen that they certainly match up extremely well with mobility and the ability to lock down. However, they're also significantly important relative to COVID to take into account also comorbidities, because that does put somebody at higher risk. And those, while directly linked to social determinants of health, we also see those very strongly correlated to the age of the population. So it's a multidimensional model, and that's why all these different factors, while by themselves can contribute strongly to predicting which areas are most vulnerable individually, once you bring them all together, that's where we're able to develop this index that has an over 85% correlation to both the positive cases that we've seen across the communities, as well as, again, the COVID-like presentation of illness.
I want to touch back on social deprivation. You report it's a leading factor for COVID-19 infection and the primary reason for racial disparities in COVID-19 risk. What do you mean by social deprivation?
Yeah, there are a lot of different factors that go into that, and they all relate to what we call the social determinants of health. And we know that health doesn't begin in our acute care facilities, but begins in the community where we live, where we work, where we play, where we pray. And it's not just one area that is important. It's multiple as we think about how do we support our neighbors, how do we support our citizens. So our factors such as access to nutritious food, access to transportation, access to stable housing, being able to afford utilities, elder care or child care, to be able to enable somebody to go to work. All those different components is what we mean when we talk about resiliency or social deprivation, and that significantly impact the social determinants of health.
What does this mean for COVID-19 spread within communities of color? And I guess the big question is how can the medical community respond to these disparities?
We need to pay particular attention to areas that have populations that are more vulnerable. And that's, again, it's an aggregation of density of people over the age of 65 with comorbidities in areas that have social deprivation and in some areas that have increased mobility. So we need to pay particular attention to when we see that rising risk, because that's where there's potential for the disease not only to spread more quickly, but the individuals that contacted the disease to manifest symptoms that require hospitalization or require more intensive care. So by understanding that, then the tangible things that we can do is provide proactive and targeted education that is culturally sensitive. I think we need to adapt to whom we communicate in a way that the information makes sense, it's being internalized, it's being received. So individuals themselves can do something with that information. And then number two is deploy both physical testing sites as well as mobile testing sites in a way they're accessible to individuals.
Steve Myth is the president and CEO of the Parkland Center for Clinical Innovation. Thanks for taking the time.
Thanks so much.